Welcome to the Decent People Podcast, episode 7.
7.
My lucky number.
Is it?
Wow.
Yeah, it's... No.
Yeah.
7.
We're off to a good start. Welcome back. This is our Monday episode, and today we are interviewing my brother, Halen Huesner. Halen, would you like to say hello?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy to be here.
Are you?
On the Decent People Podcast. Glad that you guys considered me to be a decent person.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. We all went to the lake together yesterday, so we're a little sunburnt and a little
sunburnt
from wakeboarding.
Look at this.
Oh my goodness.
So bad.
I hope you know that we are recording audio only, not video. So
well,
when
I was letting you guys see it.
Okay. Halen, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Halen Huesner. I go to ASU. I am a nutrition major. I'm pre-med as well. And obviously I'm Reagan's brother.
Unfortunately.
KJ's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Whatever, I'm not so bad. let's see, what else? I don't know. I think we'll get into that a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of like what he was just saying, Halen is a super big like nutrition and I almost said energy. You're an energy buff. Nutrition and exercise like guy. And we consider him an expert because he's done years of research and he's kind of like our go-to when we have any questions about anything. And yeah, so we're going to be talking to him today about all your guys' questions that you sent in and kind of some questions that we have. But in order to get there, Halen kind of has to tell his story of how he grew into being this like super into nutrition and super into exercise. So, and it kind of ties in with my story growing up too, because we, Halen and I both went through the same thing. So, I mean, yours was definitely worse. But so, would you like to start off by telling us about like what was happening when you were a kid, like when you would work out?
Sure. And first, I'm flattered that you would consider me an expert on this stuff. But I do want to mention that I do not consider myself an expert. I would define myself as like well-researched.
Or like a mogul.
There you go.
Yeah.
You'd be like a mogul.
Yeah. Like I've put a lot of time into, you know, burying myself in the research as far as nutrition and wellness. But I wouldn't consider myself an expert. So just putting that out there.
Basically take everything he says with a grain of salt.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So a little bit about my story. Like Reagan said, we have kind of a similar story as far as our health in the past. So I think it was around the time that I was about 10 years old. I was at baseball practice and my coach, the first thing he would have us do is run from home plate to the fence and back. We'd have to touch the top of the fence and then run back.
Was this at Big League Dreams?
Yeah, I think it was. We were training there. And he sent us out this one day, and I'd been an athlete my whole life. I'd played football, basketball, baseball, all the sports, swimming,
wrestling.
Diving, wrestling. Pretty fit guy for a 10-year-old. And yeah, he sent us to the fence and back, and for whatever reason, when we returned, I just got this, like, terrible sensation. I just, like, went pale as a ghost, felt super weak, and then, like, I just didn't have any energy. And I just collapsed to the ground because I just couldn't stand up anymore. It was weird. And then I just remember, like, being able to stand up because my coach was like, Halen, what are you doing on the floor? And I was like, I don't know, coach. Like, I just don't have any energy right now. And I walked over, and I remember my head just instantly started hurting terribly, like a migraine like I've never experienced before. I'd never had anything like that in my entire life. And the only thing I could think to do was to go grab my baseball helmet and put it on my head because, like, I felt like I needed to put pressure on my head to, like, suppress whatever was going on. So I just, like, literally went and put my helmet on. My coach was, like, super concerned about me, and I just sat there for a minute and just, like, oh, just hoped that the pain would go away eventually if I just kept the helmet on. But it didn't, and my parents ended up having to come and pick me up. And then on the way home, the headache just, like, completely went away. I was fine. And I ended up being able to go to, like, Buffalo Wild Wings with all my teammates after practice. So it was, like, just the weirdest thing ever.
Did your coach just think you were being dramatic?
I think he could see the pain in my eyes. Oh, so he wasn't, like, insensitive. Mm-hmm. But even I was just like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, this has never happened before. Anyways, I just told my parents about it. And they were just like, oh, maybe it was a fluke. Like, everyone gets headaches from time to time. And I was just like, yeah, like, I trusted my parents and what they thought. So, yeah, I just kind of moved on. Didn't happen for a while. And then maybe, like, 2 months later, maybe even less, I was swimming at a friend's house. And the same thing happened again. I dove in the pool, got out of the pool, stood up, felt weak, fell to the ground again, collapsed. And then when I got back up, got a terrible headache. This time it was so bad that I like went behind my friend's rock wall and literally just threw up all over the place. Like, I just could not hold it in. And then that was after that time, any time that I would exert myself in any way, like physically, I mean, in PE, we would have to do like 2 warm-up laps. And after those 2 warm-up laps, I would just head straight to the trash can because I knew it was going to end up happening again. And so this just kept happening and happening and happening. And finally, my parents were just like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, something's got to be going on. And so I went to several different doctors. I saw my primary care physician. He he tested all my blood panel and nothing was wrong. So he sent me to a specialist. I went to a nephrologist, a kidney doctor. Again, my scans came up clean. All my blood work was good. I was sent to a neurologist because it was headaches that I was having. Mm-hmm. They did a brain MRI and all that stuff, and everything came back clean. And so I was just bouncing around from specialist to specialist until one day, I forget what kind of doctor. Oh, it was an endocrinologist who finally recommended that I do a 24-hour urine collection, which means that I had to collect my urine literally for an entire day.
Sorry, guys. Walter is literally like army crawling underneath the couch right now. Okay, sorry. Your urine turned 24-hour urine?
Yeah, so anyways, I did a 24-hour urine collection. And when the results came back for that, they found that my levels of norepinephrine, which is the adrenaline hormone in our body, mine were like literally 20 levels higher than a normal individual's when they're on like a roller coaster. Holy and that that's when
and that
I was
just constant, right?
Like, it constantly was. I would be sitting in my seat in class and I would have the adrenaline of someone on a roller coaster times 20.
And I mean, mom and dad thought you had ADHD for like,
exactly, and
how
I was
many
just,
years so you were probably on like 10. You were on ADHD medications and everything and it wasn't even ADHD. Mm-mm. Okay,
yeah,
crazy.
So I was just constantly in fight or flight mode and it was just exhausting my body. I think at one point my blood pressure got up to like 210 over 150. Jeez, which
that's
is like
a nurse's worst nightmare.
Yeah, it was bad. And so, oof. Yeah, eventually I just got scanned. They figured out what it was. I was diagnosed with a tumor. It's an extra adrenal tumor called a paraganglioma.
Try to spell that, listener. I dare you.
Yeah, and so basically they just put me on some beta blockers, which are a blood pressure lowering medication, and I had laparoscopic surgery to remove about a 4-centimeter tumor from my from my adrenal gland.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of where this all started, right? And the word extra adrenal doesn't necessarily make sense to everybody, but doesn't that just mean that it's on top of the adrenal gland?
Yeah, so to explain it a little better, it wasn't my adrenal gland that had a tumor on it. It was outside of my adrenal gland. But the hormones that this tumor was secreting were mimicking the adrenal hormones.
Okay. So norepinephrine is secreted by your adrenal gland from stimulation by the hypothalamus, right? Mm-hmm. So this part of your brain sends a signal down to your adrenal gland and it says, we need to go into fight or flight mode, secrete norepinephrine. So this tumor was growing and it was sending, what was it, sending signals? Or do you know the pathophysiology?
It was literally just secreting catecholamines. So the norepinephrine, okay. Epinephrine, adrenaline.
So basically, yeah, this tumor was causing his body to be in like picture like can you think of a situation when you'd go into fight or flight mode? Like maybe
you're being chased by a bear.
Sure.
Or yeah, when you have to run a tough mutter.
Tough mutter. You
gotta like the only time that I can think I've ever been in it maybe is like when I have nearly avoided a car accident. Like, and then it like takes you like 5 minutes to like come down from that. Like we were driving to dinner one time and this car was going the wrong way through an intersection and I had to like swerve out of its way and we like narrowly avoided getting hit and narrowly avoided hitting the other car in the other lane. And it took me like a solid Walter's trying to destroy a plastic bag. So, yeah, I mean, it takes a while to come down out of it, and it's
or
like
when
that.
You're leaning back in your chair and your stupid friend kicks it out from under you.
Oh, my
and you're about
yep,
to fall.
There you go.
Yeah, but like if you're sitting here listening to this and you can picture that, like you can feel your heart, like palpitations, and you can feel like beating out of your chest and like you're broken out in a cold sweat, like that was Haylen.
Your eyes dilate.
Yeah.
Your pupils.
I mean, a lot of things happen just like through all your systems, but that was you like constantly. And I can't, I mean, no wonder you were so skinny. He was very skinny. He was very frail, very short. You did kind of, we go back and look at pictures and you did, your eyelids were kind of like sunken in. You were very pale.
I just looked sick.
Yeah.
Cause I was.
We never realized it. Yeah. So, that all happened and you were treated at Phoenix Children's.
Yeah. That's where I had my surgery.
Yeah. And then I don't remember who recommended us, but we got, it was recommended to us to get genetic testing done. So we tested everybody in our nuclear family. Does that mean mom, dad, you, me,
immediate
siblings?
Immediate family, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Walter's making a large commotion in the background. So, yeah, we got, our parents got tested to figure out which one of them it came from, this, like, issue came from. It turned out to be our mom, and then they got all of us, all the kids tested, and it turned out to be a genetic mutation called SDHB, which is succinate dehydroxin beta something. I don't know. I used to know. But it's basically when our genes were created, this gene got flipped off, and this is the gene that suppresses your body's formation of these paraganglioma and pheochromocytoma tumors. So ours got switched off, and it's not all of our siblings have it. It's just you and me. So our younger siblings don't have it. But then because it came from my mom's siblings got tested, and do both of them have it?
Heather, Billy, and Roxy all have it. Yeah.
Okay. My so mom. It was 100% pass rate from grandma down to her
children,
but it was 50% for mom's kids. And yeah, so then all of our cousins ended up getting tested, and it's just kind of like spiraled from there. And so once we got tested and I was found to have the marker, then we started getting scans and they found a tumor in my neck, and it was like not right on my carotid artery, but close enough that it was like, yikes, let's get rid of this before it gets too big. And so then somebody referred us to the National Institutes of Health in Maryland, which is like the United States of America's like research hospital. And so we started flying back and forth to Maryland at, like, I think I was 12 and you were like 14. So that was kind of cool. We thought it was awesome. We got to go to New York City. We got to see Washington, D.C. several times. Like,
no, we didn't think it was cool. It was cool.
It was cool. What about the time when mom left us on the subway?
I was going to ask.
Oh, man.
Well, oh, we had two stories.
Stay over in the airport, and we ended up sleeping on the... Oh, man.
Okay, so, Roxy, you're getting another shout-out. So, because the National Institutes of Health were wanting to study us, because this issue is so rare, it's like one in a million families.
Was it on Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, there's like one case mentioned on Grey's Anatomy, and I know it was mentioned on another medical show that I've watched. But, well, it's not our mutation that was mentioned, it's the tumor. I think there's other things that can cause a paraganglioma, like other issues.
There's another type of tumor that's related to it called a pheochromocytoma.
Yeah.
That is the tumor that affects the adrenal gland directly.
Okay.
Our tumors were extra adrenal, which means they were not on the adrenal gland.
So ours were both
gland.
Paragangliomas?
Right, but they're both caused by the same mutation in the... Okay. In the tumor suppressor gene.
But I think the cases mentioned on Grey's Anatomy were not directly caused by our problem. I think it was just a case of this patient has this tumor, and then they never went into detail about how they got it. But yeah, so we're in Maryland, and the NIH would pay for my ticket and Halen's ticket, and then a companion for both of us since we were minors. So that would mean that my ticket, Halen's ticket, my mom's ticket, and my dad's ticket were paid for because they were our companions. But they wanted to bring the whole family, so my mom somehow found a way to switch mine and Halen's ticket with our younger siblings' tickets, and then they put me and Halen on standby, which is where you get on the plane if there's, like, empty seats available at the end. And so we made it all the way there fine. Our stay went by fine. And then on the way home, they got on the plane, got home first class, and Halen and I were left in Ronald Reagan International Airport, and we were on standby, and I remember having my headphones in, and you were supposed to listen over the loudspeaker for your name to be called when you're on standby, but they pronounced our last name wrong, and I had my headphones in too, so we didn't hear it, so they skipped over us. I don't think we ever told mom that. I think we just said that we didn't make it on, but And so we missed our flight, ended up having to stay in the airport completely by ourselves. I was like 12 and you were 14. There's no beds in an airport.
It was awful.
I just remember Halen getting super, super hyper at like 11:30
at night. I was delusional.
He found a scarf that somebody had left on one of the seats and used it as a pillow, and he wouldn't share it with me. And I remember at like 3 o'clock in the morning, there was an employee there like waxing the floors, and he started singing opera. He didn't realize we were there, and he was just walking up and down waxing the floors like singing opera music. We finally made it home. But and then what about, do you want to tell the story of the time mom left us on the subway?
You're gonna have to remind me. Is that when we were,
I think we had our suitcases and she went through and then the doors closed behind her.
Oh no.
And my phone was dead.
Oh man, I actually don't remember that.
I just vaguely remember it. She went to get on and she had all our suitcases, and so she got on and the doors closed and you and I didn't make it on it.
Did we have cell phones at the time?
Yeah, but I think mine was dead and she had yours. Oh, or something. And so we literally just stayed there. Like, we just sat there and waited for her to come back, and finally she did.
So. Best Mother of the Year award goes to.
She's going to listen to that and feel guilty. Yeah. Anyways. Okay, where were we? Oh.
Tumors.
Yeah, so the National Institutes of Health offered to do my surgery for free. So the first week of the second semester of my sophomore year, I got to go to Maryland for a week and got my surgery and got it taken out. It was kind of risky because it was right next to my carotid artery, but the only side effect that I had was they like hit a nerve while they were taking it out, and it caused my smile to like go slack, kind of like when you get dental, like a dental procedure. It caused my smile to go like loopy for like 6 weeks. Oh, and then I recovered and it's been fine ever since. But we have to get scans like yearly and get blood work done and do the 24-hour urine test because they're checking to make sure our blood sugar isn't spiking, there's no catecholamines in our urine and all that fun stuff to make sure it's not going to come back, because what did they say, there's like a 50% reoccurrence rate.
Mm-hmm. The reason we have to get the 24-hour urine collection and the blood panel done and the scans is because, just as in Reagan's case, whereas my tumor was symptomatic, it was causing mm-hmm. a whole bunch of problems, they would have never found hers until it was yeah. big enough to cause problems.
And same with our
so
uncle,
hers
right?
was asymptomatic. Yeah, Billy's was thyroid
tumor.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive.
So Halen saved Billy's life.
I didn't save Billy's life.
Indirectly.
Indirectly, yeah. I mean, yeah. They said if he would have waited 6 more months, it would have started spreading and become like legit cancerous.
Yeah, thank goodness for doctors.
Yeah. I mean, so we didn't technically have metastatic cancer. Like,
no.
None of our tumors.
All of our tumors were benign, so they were
isolated. In one location. They were localized, but like in the case of our uncle, if we hadn't have found this, like 6 months later, his would have started to spread.
Which is wild, because I've looked into the research for our specific gene mutation, the SDHB, and most of the time, the tumors that are growing inside people with this mutation are metastatic, which mm-hmm. means they're spread throughout the body and can be fatal. So
yeah.
We got really lucky.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I remember I was sitting at the hospital and there was this girl that was my age, and she had one that started, I think, on the same place that yours did, and hers had spread everywhere. I know she's mm-hmm. still alive because I'm friends with her on Facebook, but yeah, she was in a bad way.
Yeah.
But I also vaguely remember trying tofu at that like house. Do you remember? Oh my gosh. Do you remember when you made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich out of pita bread?
I do. Yeah. No, I think that was like one of those, I don't even know what it was. Was
like
it flatbread?
It was like a pita crisp.
Pita cracker thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was disgusting. It tasted like cardboard. And then the peanut butter was just like the only way I could get it down.
Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of like our backstory. Nobody in our direct family has died yet. I know mom had like a cousin distantly that passed away recently from like just the tumor spread everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both healthy. As of right now, there's nothing going on, but this is kind of where we get into why Halen is now as crazy and like obsessive as he is about nutrition. Would you like to kind of explain how this, like experience led you into where you are now?
For sure. I think that being so young and being diagnosed with something that could have definitely killed me if it wasn't taken care of immediately helped me to realize the importance of health.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, since then, I've just really made an effort to learn all that I can about health and wellness and anything that I can do to preserve my health or optimize it. I feel like that's important for me to do, especially because I've been dealt a bad gene already. So
shucks, that's putting it lightly.
A bad gene.
You got a few, pal.
No. Just yeah, kidding. So I don't know. I think, yeah, just like I was saying, being hit with something that crazy at such a young age really inspired me to learn all that I can about nutrition and wellness and how that can affect our, you know, the possibility of us getting sick in the future. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So
yeah, I also remember our doctors like telling us kind of in a funny way, but also a serious way, like, hey, sugar feeds tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like at that point you were like, I'm never eating sugar again.
I also vividly remember, though, I know exactly what you're talking about. Those yeah. same doctors, after they said that, I looked at them and I don't know where this idea even came from. I wasn't even interested in food or diet or mm-hmm. anything at the time. I just looked at them and I said, is there anything that I can do with food or with exercise or with my lifestyle mm-hmm. that could potentially help me to prevent this from happening again in the future? Mm-hmm. And I remember him looking me in the eyes. And my mom kind of chuckled. She was like, what is my son asking? Like, he's 14 years old and he's questioning a doctor.
And I also can just picture your really, really high voice back then asking this.
Yeah. And then, he responded back and said, no, just keep living how you are. There's nothing you can do about it. And so
I feel like that's not true.
Yeah, it definitely was food for thought when he said that.
No pun intended. Also, like, I've only been in nursing school for a year, but they drill it into your head. Like, when you're educating a patient with, like, literally any disorder, for the most part, diabetes, heart disease, thyroid issues, anything, like, one of the most common things that you are instructed to educate patients on is diet and exercise. Like, mm-hmm. diabetes type 2 can be pretty much cured with diet and exercise. Heart disease is caused by lifestyle factors, smoking, saturated fats, like anything that can cause plaque buildup, like all these different things. And so it's like, really, you're trying to tell me like we couldn't at least help our body like function a little better? Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, just a side note, if you want to prevent diseases and issues later in life, take care of your body now.
Yeah, start yeah. building good habits now at a yeah. young age so that it's not something you have to worry about later on.
Mm-hmm. So with that, we had some listener questions for you since you do have so much research and information. So the first question that people wanted to know is why is nutrition so important? Which is kind of what we just talked about, but what's like your take on that?
First off, great question. I think that nutrition is important. Because out of all of the variables in our life, sleep, exercise, random objects falling on us while we're walking in the street and crushing us. There's a lot of variables that happen in our life every single day. And out of all of the variables, I think that nutrition is one of the ones that we have the most control over.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I choose every single time I eat what I put in my mouth. I have 100% control over what I choose to eat, with some limitations, obviously. Mangoes don't grow here locally, so I can't I can't include
you
certain
ever been
foods
to a
in my
farmer's market.
Sprouts. Yeah, so I think nutrition is incredibly important because we have so much control over it.
Mm-hmm.
I can pretty much put anything I want in my mouth, including Tide Pods. And that's gonna affect my overall nutritional profile. So
yes, a Tide Pod will not help your nutrition, for any of those out there that were curious.
Right.
So neither will McDonald's.
Hopefully that answers a little bit. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. And then kind of going along with the same thing, why is working out so important? And KJ can probably weigh in on this a little bit too.
For sure. So besides the mental benefits of working out, at least for me, I find it to be a hobby. And it helps me release after a long day or mm-hmm. even in the morning to get my day started. Besides those effects, I think exercise is important because we eat food and it goes in our body and we digest it and break it down and it's available for us to utilize, but only if we're using our bodies to, mm-hmm. Help it get absorbed and go to the right places, to explain it a bit simply. it's really important that at a young age you spend time exercising to build up your lean muscle mass, which is your what's the best way to say this? It's your best goodness,
like gracious. Tool
ally.
Oh, okay.
It's your best ally when it comes to fighting off disease in the future. Is building muscle at a young age is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. So,
what do you mean by young age? Like what? By the time
you're young. So when you're in puberty and after puberty, your hormones are at their highest level. Your sex hormones, your steroid hormones,
and your metabolism is working mighty fine.
Exactly, and you have a great potential to build up your lean muscle mass if you optimize mm-hmm. your nutrition and focus on a good exercise program.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. After we ran our race last Saturday, I took this whole week off from working out and eating relatively healthy. I'm probably like 60-40%, like 60% of like whole foods, great foods for you to eat, and like 40% junk, just to kind of take the week off. And I've never felt less motivated or have less energy in my entire life.
Well, you're missing out on the endorphins and like what else? Dopamine. It stimulates dopamine production.
Mm-hmm. And then also something called BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Basically, it's fuel for your brain.
Yeah.
It literally just helps you learn better.
And I'm not going to go down the road of like exercising can cure depression, because I know it doesn't. But there are proven studies that show that exercising can help your brain produce many of the neurotransmitters that the brain needs to stabilize mood.
Yeah. And if you look at some of the drugs that are prescribed to people who are depressed or have anxiety disorders, a lot of them are just mimicking some of the hormones that are secreted during exercise.
So. I mean, the first class that doctors turn to when you come in with a diagnosis of anxiety or depression is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which basically means that this drug goes in and stimulates your brain to actually use the serotonin that's being produced and actually start to produce more serotonin. And what's the research on exercise and serotonin? I don't really know. Do you know?
That's a good question. I know about some of the research with exercise and dopamine, which basically is just a feel good hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you exercise, if you get that feel good hormone, it makes you want to do it again and again because it trains your brain to say, hey, when I do this, I feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll go back to it.
Oh, so, yeah. I was like, I'd go to the gym every morning at like 5:30. I love the gym so much, but it was kind of becoming a chore a little bit. So I was like, I'll have to take the week off, and I miss it so much. I'm so excited to start again tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good.
So yeah, exercise is definitely a mood booster. Just helps your day.
Yeah. Well, 100%. Do you want to talk about like how different you feel this year as opposed to maybe like a year and a half ago when this wasn't?
Yeah, I was a big old doughy tanky boy a year ago.
The Pillsbury Doughboy?
Yeah.
No, you weren't. You were adorable.
Yeah, I was.
I can relate. Spent 6 months in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, KG. Take it away.
Oh, I wasn't anything. I've lost 40 pounds since this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible. About. Yeah, I feel way, way better.
Mm-hmm.
Way more energy, way more focus, way more drive to do things.
And honestly, you and I fight way less.
Yeah, it was always cranky. In a better mood. Yeah,
40 pounds. That is crazy to wrap my head around. Like
that's like a whole.
That's 2 20-pound dumbbells.
Yeah, well, and he's done it slow but steady. Like I feel like sometimes you get disappointed that it's not falling off like some people do, but you've done it through exercise and like. You've tried different diets, which is kind of like our next question, but.
And it's clearly been sustainable for him. I mean, you look healthy.
Which I think
the most important part.
Yeah. I don't feel like it was ever like a crash diet either. Mm-hmm. Like I lost 20 pounds real quick
mm-hmm.
and then the last 20 have taken forever to fall off. But it was like, I don't know. I've always been like a bigger, I've never been like skinny. So it's like that. I'll hold on to that 20 pounds, but turning fat into muscle, I think
it's hard. It's a
is
long
way
process.
More important than just being skinny. Cause I do think you need. Definitely need size, and you just can't be
real thin. I like your biceps,
thin.
Too, so you can hold on to thanks, those. Babe. That'd be great.
Hey, Reagan's like, don't get rid of those bad boys.
Please keep them. The next question was kind of, what do you think of crash diets like keto and intermittent fasting, and what do you think about them?
So I wouldn't necessarily label the ketogenic diet or intermittent fasting or the modified Atkins diet or the vegan diet as crash diets.
Mm-hmm.
They can be.
What would you
they
consider
totally
a crash diet then?
I would consider a crash diet any diet program or regimen that someone initiates with intent to lose weight or become healthier that they cannot sustain for longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, like dinner and Diet Coke through the day, and that's all you eat. I feel like that's a crash diet. Like you're only doing like one meal a day. That I don't think that is necessarily a crash diet. Stupid. That's a crash diet, but it's not sustainable at all.
Yeah.
And the reason that I wouldn't consider the ketogenic diet to be a crash diet is because when done correctly and when someone is well-researched and understand what they need to consume and the types of vitamins and minerals that they need to consume on a daily basis and the amount of calories that they need for their body, it can definitely be sustainable.
Yeah, Ty, our nurse, when that nurse episode, he's been doing it for a year now, and he's lost like 60 pounds. He looks amazing, but he knows how to do it. I tried keto for a couple months, but I couldn't do it right. It's definitely a trial and error kind of thing.
It's tough. Yeah. It's really tough because you are eliminating. For those of you who don't know about the ketogenic diet, what it does is basically there are three basic macronutrients. There's carbs, protein, and fat. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with those. And we eat a decent amount of each on a daily basis. Well, on the ketogenic diet, the goal is to reduce carbohydrates to a minimum. So basically completely or nearly eliminate all carbohydrate consumption and replace that energy with
fats.
Energy from dietary lipids or fats. And so you're still consuming around the same amount of calories. So if you were consuming 2,000 calories made up of carbs, protein, and fats, now you're consuming 2,000 calories or whatever you consume of fats and proteins and minimal carbohydrates.
And the science behind it is that eventually your body will go into what's called ketosis, which is where your body starts to use fats as the source of energy. So it starts to break down fat and use it. And so instead of, instead of using carbs as your energy source, you're using those fats and it's burning them away. And so you're supposed to start losing weight because you're losing fat.
Right. So yeah, in the absence of, as Reagan was saying, in the absence of dietary carbohydrate, it forces your body to burn fat as a fuel source. So not only the fat that you're consuming, but the body fat that's already on your body, it starts burning that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of science behind that that I can get into if you'd want to. But
well, I think mostly, like, what kind of person would you recommend like keto for, and who would you recommend it not? Like, who would you not recommend it to?
So the ketogenic diet, besides being a diet that's recommended to people who are interested in losing weight or becoming more healthy, it's very therapeutic. There's a lot of science out there right now that shows that the ketogenic diet is beneficial for people with Alzheimer's, for people with type 2 diabetes, for heart disease, with epilepsy, any of the chronic conditions that are associated with insulin resistance. Which basically insulin resistance is when over time, when you consume far too many carbohydrates, especially from poor sources like white flour products and sugar and
my favorites,
all that stuff. Yeah. Your body becomes resistant to the hormone that's secreted when you consume carbohydrates, and therefore it's not able to store carbohydrate as glycogen or energy in your body. And it loses that ability. So the, ideology behind the ketogenic diet is that if we can restore someone's health and help them to return to insulin sensitivity, which is the opposite of insulin resistance, which is obviously a problem that causes all of these chronic conditions that I mentioned before. If we can eliminate carbohydrate from the diet, we can limit that insulin response that happens when you consume carbohydrates, and allow the body to better utilize carbohydrate.
Yeah, and that's, I heard somewhere that I think it was the Marines were studying like the keto diet or keto diet and like possibly just having their Marines be in ketosis all the time because so like if they're ever deployed and they're stuck, they don't, they're not so dependent on food. Because my uncle, I think I've heard you say, it's like he has to force himself to eat.
Like, it curbs your appetite.
Hungry. Yeah.
I was on it last semester for a month. I lost 15 pounds, and not because I was exercising so much or because I wasn't eating a lot, but because it literally curbs your appetite. When your body starts burning fat for fuel, and you consume fat, it's very satiating. It keeps you full for a long period of time because it's energy dense and it fuels your metabolism and helps with your steroid hormones.
Yeah, you don't feel like groggy or anything. Like you're mentally all there.
Yeah,
like,
that's one thing I want to mention as well. You said, who would I recommend the ketogenic diet for? Well, for people who are strength training and need to be explosive, power lifters, sprinters, I've participated in a few of those activities while I was on the ketogenic diet as well, and I definitely saw a decrease in my performance and my ability to
really?
To intensely work out, just because carbohydrates are, I would say, they're necessary for strength for sure. training and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
That's why However,
I will, until I graduate college, I will definitely go on a ketogenic diet for the last 2-3 weeks of the semester, not because I want to lose weight or I want to get shredded or cut up physically, but because of the cognitive benefits that KJ was just speaking of. It allows your mind to be clear. You're more focused. You're not thinking about food all the time when you're trying to study. And so when I went on a ketogenic diet this past winter during finals, yes, I lost a bunch of weight, and I was upset about that because I have a hard enough time gaining weight as is. But I was able to sit at my desk and focus and really just think clearly and absorb material better because because of what Reagan was saying. When your body is not burning carbohydrate or glucose as fuel, which is one of the ways that the brain can be fueled, it's being fueled by ketones, which are one of the byproducts of ketosis, and ketones are actually very metabolically efficient for the brain. And so that's one of the reasons that you're able to focus more clearly.
I feel like we should add a little disclaimer. You do have to be careful with keto, because for that first week, if you just completely eliminate carbs right away, your body is going to actually go into something called metabolic acidosis.
Ketoacidosis.
And it can be dangerous, but I mean, just do your research. Don't just cut carbs completely. I mean,
that's a great, great point that you make, because there is the, I'm going to eat bacon and steak and like mayonnaise
and
no vegetables.
Yeah.
Or there's the ketogenic diet where you get up and you eat eggs and spinach and olive oil and macadamia nuts and grass-fed steak and salmon and tons of broccoli and cruciferous vegetables and grass-fed butter and, you know, avocados, nuts, seeds.
Yeah.
All these things are wholesome, and they're providing your body with the vitamins and minerals it needs to fuel your metabolism. If you're missing out on some of those vitamins and minerals while doing the ketogenic diet, you are going to turn it into a crash diet. You will fail, because you will not feel good.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
I think that's why I classified it as a crash diet, is because when it's not done correctly and very accurately, it's not
effective. And a huge, huge important thing to understand when you're on the ketogenic diet is, in the first couple of weeks, you are going to lose a large amount of weight really fast. And a lot of people think that that's all coming from fat or all coming from your body fat stores. And that's not the case. Your body is used to storing a lot of water, because when you consume carbohydrates, you store a lot of water with that. And when you eliminate carbohydrates from the diet, you flush out a lot of water. So it's typical to lose about, 5 to 15 pounds within a week of starting a ketogenic diet, just because you're peeing out a lot of the water retention that you were having. Also, you retain water when your body is heavily inflamed. When there's a lot of inflammation in the body, your body retains water to combat that. So that's something to keep an eye on. But in order to make sure that your body is having enough water in it, enough fluid, and retaining that fluid, you need to up your sodium intake. You need to eat a ton of salt every single meal when you're on a ketogenic diet, because it helps with water retention. And that's really important.
Yeah, you don't want to be dehydrated.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, for the keto diet, I wish I could do it, but I hate avocados and I hate cheese and I hate like a lot of the things that, like, I could do spinach, I could do nuts and eggs and all that, but I feel like I'd get so bored with my limited options after like 2 weeks. So like, do you want to talk about like your diet? Like, I'd consider you on like the whole foods stuff. You're not even really on a diet. You're just in like a whole foods lifestyle.
Yeah. So my whole goal with nutrition and wellness in my life is to find something that's sustainable for me. I don't want to start a diet and, get shredded over 2 weeks and then end up yo-yoing back and gaining a bunch of weight or whatever. I wanted to find a diet that was sustainable for me, that I could live for the rest of my life, feel well, sleep well, have my brain functioning optimally, be able to train in the gym and, you know, have a good time. Be a good person. That's important to me.
There's KJ.
If I'm not feeling well, I can't be, you know, strong for those around me. I can't present myself in a respectable manner. So it's important to me that I find a diet or a nutrition plan is what I like to call it, that fuels that in my life. So for me, based on the research that I've done, I don't think so much it's important to restrict certain foods from your diet or, you know, kick out certain food groups. I think what's most important is to pay attention to the quality of each of those food groups. There was something I wanted to say about that as well. Anyways, with that, I've experimented with the vegan diet. Like I said, I've experimented with, and yeah, I implemented that for a solid month in my life. I've experimented with the ketogenic diet, obviously. I've experimented with mindful eating, which means that you eat pretty much whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. You just kind of listen to your body. And out of all of the experimentation that I've done, I've found that the most sustainable one is the one that focuses on quality over quantity. I don't track what I eat anymore. I used to religiously. I used to count calorie by calorie, carbs, protein, and fats. And that was pretty important for me in the beginning to get a good understanding of what I was intaking. And I also still pay attention to vitamins and minerals because I think vitamins and minerals are far more important than calories, in my opinion. But let's see. My diet right now, is that what you want to know, what my diet consists
of?
Sure, So I would say that on a daily basis, 75% of the foods that I consume are the same every single day.
Yeah.
And then there's about a 25% variable range. So a typical breakfast, I will, when I'm training, when I'm strength training, which I usually am unless I'm injured, which
is a lot.
Hasn't happened for a while, but oh yeah. Well, I'll wake up and I'll have something like, you know, a cup of fat-free Greek yogurt with a cup of oats on top of that with some berries or a fruit. And then that'll keep me full until about lunch. And that's when I'll have something like a decent amount of grass-fed beef with some broccoli sauteed in like grass-fed butter. And then maybe I'll have like a potato on the side with olive oil on top. And then for dinner, if I'm hungry, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I have to force myself to eat because I'm so like full, just because when you eat nutrient-dense foods, your body doesn't crave stuff. And so sometimes I'll be 1200 calories in, it'll be 8:00 PM and I'll be like, wow, if I go to bed right now, I'm going to be in a calorie deficit and I don't want to be losing weight. I need to eat. So I'll sometimes have to force myself to eat something like, I don't know. I like to eat salmon, in the toaster oven with like some coconut oil or something. And I have a favorite seasoning. Shout out to McCormick taco seasoning
on your salmon.
Oh,
oh my god!
Let me tell you.
That sounds awesome. Actually.
And then I'll have that alongside like three eggs with McCormick. Yeah, I'll usually have three eggs and some spinach with that. And then maybe some quinoa on the side. Yeah. So and obviously the portion sizes are going to vary from day to day based on my level of activity, how hungry I am, how much I slept, stuff like that.
Yeah. So your goal is to gain weight, but what would you advise, like maybe with those exact same foods that you just mentioned, what would you advise for somebody who's trying to lose weight? Would you just recommend like taking the portions down, counting calories? Like what would you say would be the best idea?
I would say that in a healthy individual, their weight and their body composition will stabilize the closer they get to living a wholesome lifestyle, consuming wholesome foods. So the more you can move towards consuming whole foods, the closer your body is going to be to stabilization, to what's the word, equilibrium. So maybe I should talk about what I consider a whole food. The veganism movement is something I definitely need to bring up right now. The plant-based diet I think is a wonderful thing. However, I do think it's important to implement animal products into the diet, just because there are so many nutrients that are found in animal products that we can never get from plants. I think the focus of animal products, if you're going to choose to include them and incorporate them in your diet, again, is quality. Mm-hmm. So when thinking about consuming something like fish, you're not going to want to consume fish that's been swimming in a 25-foot wide pond with 6,000 other fish that are crapping on each other all day. You're going to want to consume the fish that was wild caught in Alaska, because it was allowed to, you know, roam around the waters and be in its natural habitat for its life. And that is a healthy fish. That's something that I would want to put in my body, not the crap eating salmon that's, you know, unsustainably raised in that pond. Or if you're going to choose to include beef products, let's focus on including beef that's been allowed to graze and walk around on a pasture and be raised the way it would be in the wild. Let's not eat the cattle or the beef that's been fed Skittles its entire life, or, you know, oats and grains that cows did not eat for the last 5,000 years, you know, roaming around the earth. Or if you're going to eat eggs, same thing. Make sure that they're pasture raised. They're walking around picking at bugs. They're not eating, you know, Hershey's, whatever the farmers feed them, you know.
Farmers, man.
they're crazy. I've seen some crazy things that they do. And then make sure that these, oftentimes cattle are loaded up with antibiotics and hormones that they need, because they're literally living side by side by side by side by side. They don't have any room to roam around, so they have to have antibiotics, otherwise they'll contract a bunch of diseases, which will make them even more unhealthy for us. Mm-hmm. And then with dairy, due to the sugar that's found in dairy, lactose, a lot of people are intolerant to that, which is completely understandable. But I think dairy, if you can get the fat, the saturated fat that's in dairy, in a form like grass-fed butter or ghee, I think that those are some healthy sources of saturated fat that should be included in the diet. Because they come along with one of the most important fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin A, that is only found in green leafy vegetables, but it's in a source that our body cannot efficiently convert to the vitamin A that we need. Mm. So it's important that we get that from animal products.
Yeah.
So what was your original question? I know I just kind of rambled on for a bit.
Well, no, but like, because I remember I came over to talk to you about whole foods and how I could use that to lose weight. So basically, how can somebody eating whole foods to lose weight?
So again, the foods that I just spoke about, and then obviously choosing, instead of white flour products, which I would consider like crackers, cookies, cakes, pasta, white bread, wheat bread, you know, all of the processed sources of carbohydrates that are just like sweet tasting and snack foods, get those out of the diet. And replace them with wholesome sources, you know, potatoes, sweet potatoes, quinoa, oats are a good one, fruits, bananas, citrus, berries, you know, and then replace some of the carbohydrate or the calories that you were getting from those not so wholesome sources of carbohydrates with healthy sources of fat, you know, avocado. Stop being afraid of saturated fat. I'm not going to go into the research on that. But quit being afraid of saturated fat and focus on where that saturated fat is coming from. Again, quality over the fact that it's saturated fat. It's good for you. Just move towards consuming all these whole foods, and weight loss will no longer be something that you need to worry about, because your body will return to its homeostasis, to its natural equilibrium. So
hopefully. Okay. See my phone won't unlock. So two more questions and then we'll wrap up. How do you recommend for somebody to stay motivated and form healthy habits and keep them?
Okay.
So I feel like a lot of people, and I know KJ and I both struggle with like maintaining, like we'll start something and we'll do it for a little while and then we'll be like, oh, pizza, and then we'll give it up. Mm-hmm. We'll give up our habits.
That's a good one. I know the way that I'm speaking right now about how my diet is sustainable and I'm able to maintain it and it satiates me might sound unattainable for your listeners and maybe even for you guys. It seems like you guys are doing a pretty good job. But it did not happen overnight.
Yeah.
There were times where I was following very restrictive diets, always focusing on wholesome foods, but I would be on, you know, like low calorie diets that obviously I would go to bed hungry which is never a good idea.
Me right now.
But it's important that you are happy.
Yeah.
Whatever diet plan or nutrition plan you choose to follow. And I think that when somebody is able to take baby steps to make these changes in their life and to implement more wholesome foods, they're going to see progress, and that's going to motivate them. What doesn't lead to motivation and progress is when you feel like you've made a mistake in the nutrition department. Like if you feel like the three pizzas you ate last night because you were feeling sad set you back so far that the next day you need to starve all day, and then you need to go on a crash diet after that for a week to get back to equilibrium. That's not a healthy way of looking at it, in my opinion. It's important to take baby steps. Just as I did, I had a lot of struggle along the way to figure out why it was that I kept returning to some of the foods that I knew were not good for me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it comes down to the fact that we try to change our lives too fast.
Yeah.
And then we neglect the fact that it's going to take some time to make these changes.
Yeah.
And do research.
Yeah.
Do not just do something that somebody tells you to do. Like any of the information I've shared with you today, there's a lot of science behind it that I didn't get to share today. And maybe you go online and you go do some research and you find a way to prove me wrong. Like there's any number of ways to do that. This is where my research has led me. I'm confident in what I do on a daily basis, and that's why I'm here speaking about it. But there's so many ways to skin a cat. So
excuse you, I have a cat. Let's not joke about that. I realize
was he sustainably raised? Can we cook him up?
He was found in a bush at Saguaro Lake, so we're not sure.
I wouldn't.
That's in the wild.
Yeah. So I just realized I totally cut KJ off. He has like all those questions over there that he wanted to
I just wrote those down if he needed fillers.
They're good questions. I think we should do kind of like almost like a speed dating, like boom, 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 boom. Like,
yeah, I can blow through those.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Pick which ones you want to ask him, KJ.
Yeah, you don't have to do all of them.
No, we'll do the...
You can ask as many as you want.
I know. There's kind of a lot of... Okay, the first one. Like a lot of the articles I read, it's not so much about what you should eat. It's more like when you should eat. And I did a routine where you work out at nighttime. And so like your lunch, you have a huge carb-loaded lunch. And that's where you mostly eat all your carbs. Is like a few hours before you work out, just so you have that energy to work out. So I didn't know what you thought about like timing of meals, not so much of
in relation to working out.
I think in general.
Oh, okay.
So that's a great question. I think it's going to vary from person to person. For you, you're a big, strong guy. I see you probably go in the gym and lift some big, big, heavy weights. A
lot of curls.
Yum.
Yeah, some barbells that I couldn't even dream of picking up, but for you, because of the intensity of the exercise you're going to do, it's important that your glycogen is full by the time you go into the gym. So whether that means you eat a carb-heavy meal in the morning and a carb-heavy meal at lunch, or you eat, you know, a fat-heavy meal in the morning and then you really blow up your carbs on the lunch meal, it's important that when you go in the gym to optimize your performance, your glycogen is full, that you consume adequate carbohydrates so that you can have that energy. Whereas for somebody who likes to get up in the morning and go for a 30-minute walk, probably don't need to get up in the morning and eat 2-3 cups of oats.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You can go for a walk with nothing.
Yeah. You can definitely go for a walk with nothing, or maybe eat like a fat source in the morning, like maybe some eggs and lay off the carbs a little bit. You don't have to, but, there are different, what's the word? There are different metabolisms that our body has for different types of exercise. For example, when you're lifting heavy weights, your body is tapping into your carbohydrate stores for the most part. It's still burning fat at the same time, but the ratio is probably skewed more towards burning carbohydrates. Whereas when you're going on a leisurely walk with a friend, your body is mostly burning fat, hardly burning carbohydrates, just because the intensity of walking compared to lifting a barbell, quite a difference. So,
I would say one giant puzzle.
It is.
Yeah.
I would say that if you're going to be doing some intense exercise, you also don't want to be eating those carb heavy and calorie dense meals too close to your workout, because that might upset your stomach.
Yeah.
And if you're working out while your food is undigested, that could cause some trips, some runs to the bathroom with the Hershey squirts.
Oh, no.
I've learned from experience. I'm not going to lie.
Oh dear.
So yeah. Again, you're going to want to eat the types of calories. So carbohydrates are going to be included in a diet that's going along with a strength training program or a interval training like sprint.
Right.
Stuff like that that's really intense. You're going to need more carbohydrate to to keep your glycogen levels full. Whereas if you're someone who likes to go on a leisurely bike ride or go on a walk or, you know, do some rock climbing, depending on how intense that rock climbing is, you might not need as much carbohydrate.
Right.
So, and then obviously don't eat 2000 calories 30 minutes before your workout, you know, keep just it gonna
throw
keep
up reasonable. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Fun.
Cool. I don't, we'll kind of wrap up a little bit, but I just, one of the other ones is, supplements. Cause like supplements is like a, like sports nutrition and stuff is like a $1 billion industry. And you kind of read about a whole bunch of like crap stuff they put in there. So like what kind of supplements would you recommend, if any?
Do you even use supplements?
I definitely have. And I still do. I feel like at this point I've definitely moved away from, I feel like the most popular supplement, out there, especially for people who, train is whey protein or, you know, plant-based protein powders. I've, recently moved away from using those just because, I feel like it's important to consume those protein sources alongside the nutrients that they come with instead of filtering them out of the sources and isolating them into a whey protein powder. So I think it's more beneficial to consume whey protein in the form of something like Greek yogurt, where it comes along with a bunch of other vitamins and minerals and stuff so that your body can metabolize it better instead of just throwing straight whey protein in your body, you know,
yeah,
where it might not be able to digest it as well because it doesn't come along with the enzymes your body needs. So whey protein I've started to move away from. I don't think it's bad. It is a protein source, and I haven't looked into a lot of the research of how it's metabolized and how efficient it is converted into amino acids within the body. But supplements that I would recommend: in Arizona, we do get a lot of sunlight in the summertime, so it might not be as important if you're outside swimming and if you're a lifeguard or whatever you do. If you're getting enough sun exposure every day, you may not need to supplement vitamin D. However, in places like Alaska or somewhere where you're spending most of the time inside, I would definitely recommend supplementing vitamin D. You can get it at Walgreens or CVS. Get it in the form of vitamin D3, not D2.
Yep.
You can do some research on that as well. But I would recommend maybe like a thousand
micrograms.
International units.
Oh yeah,
I think it is.
Well, and also a multivitamin is never a bad idea.
I agree. Yeah. Hit your bases. I stopped taking them, but I think they're good.
Yeah, I think just once you get your diet figured out, you don't really need supplements.
No,
like you don't need the vitamin K, vitamin C, vitamin whatever.
No, but I mean, like I've always had reservations.
You can't overdose on vitamins. So
no, I'm going back to supplements. I'm talking about, I've supplements. Always had a little bit of hesitation and like reservations about you using supplements because I just feel like it's almost unnatural to put like pre-workout. I don't know. It just makes me feel weird. Mm-hmm. I've never actually used it. I don't ever use it.
Yeah.
I understand though, for guys, they want to get to the gym and they want to be like fueled up and ready to go. But I'm almost like, is that even necessary?
Yeah, I guess it does depend on your goals too. A lot of people are putting their body through a lot of stress in the gym, which also might be another variable to consider whether or not that's actually, you know, healthy. Putting your body through some of the extremes that professional bodybuilders do and things like that. It's not necessarily healthy. Even if they look aesthetically pleasing, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, on the inside, everything's working well. So,
right.
I wonder how many times a day you use the word aesthetic.
Chasing aesthetics since the day I was born.
There you go.
Dear
goodness. No, I just wanted to. I always fight with Reagan about pre-workout because she hates
fight.
It.
I just.
But it's like I leave for the gym at like 5:45, and if I don't take a pre-workout, I'm just gonna fall asleep right there on the
bench
press.
But it's like, is that healthy?
It gets you to work out. It's not.
I don't know.
It's not like.
I guess it depends.
I'm not eating a cup of sugar.
No,
true.
The jury's still out for me on caffeine too. I mean, I depend
I'd like
on
to talk
caffeine
about that.
Right now. Yeah. I mean, the caffeine addiction in this country is outrageous.
Mm-hmm. I think, caffeine is an incredible compound. It's very powerful, when used in
properly?
The proper doses from the proper sources.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to include caffeine in your nutrition plan, it should be coming from sources like coffee or herbal teas, green teas, even black tea, things like that that are natural and naturally high in caffeine. It's a powerful yeah. molecule. And I think that there's a lot of negative talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason that it's talked about negatively is not so much the fact that, oh my gosh, you're consuming so much caffeine, but you have to consider what you're consuming caffeine along with.
Yeah.
A lot of people will go get a drink from Starbucks or whatever, and they'll consume a lot of caffeine. But the problem with the
sugar
with the drink is the fact that it's loaded up with sugar and mm-hmm. artificial sweeteners and a whole bunch of other garbage that you're throwing in your body along with the caffeine. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were to just take, you know, a couple shots of espresso, which is literally just coffee beans, that's probably going to be a whole lot better for your body in the long run.
Isn't that what you've been using at pre-workout?
Yeah, like when I was doing the ketogenic diet, I would drink a cup of coffee a day.
Oh, yeah.
No, and maybe that's a good point about pre-workout, maybe because it's just a natural source of caffeine along with, like, what, some other stuff?
Yeah, there's some other stuff, but it's not the sugar and the crap you get in a soda. Shout out Bucked Up pre-workout.
Oh, there Bucked it is up. Again.
Promo code KJR20 for 20% off. But, yeah.
You should tell Maddie that. Maddie,
oh, I told her yesterday.
Okay, yeah. I noticed that hers is gone.
Oh yeah, you should get her some.
Use his
discount code so he can get some.
Might just have to.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Any of those other questions you want to talk about?
I know Reagan drinks a lot of smoothies, so I've kind of heard like the backlash on smoothies.
Oh, because of the way that your stomach digests blended fruit versus
chewed enzymes in your
mouth. Well, because you have amylase in your spit and it breaks down fruit, so I don't know, but what is it breaking down that's so important?
That's a tough one. I haven't done a ton of research on that, but I definitely can see it having an effect on the like the glycemic response that your body has from that. So if you're chewing a banana, not only are you having to do more mechanical work to break that down in your mouth, but also when it hits the stomach, it's probably not completely pureed like it would be in a blender.
Right.
So when it hits the stomach, your stomach still has some work to do. It still has to break down the fiber. Whereas if you throw it in a blender, if you throw it in a blender, it's going to be puree. So the second it hits your stomach's going to be like, what the heck? I got no work to do. I have to assimilate these nutrients right now.
Yeah.
And so that might be a factor to consider.
They're just so good.
I'm not saying they're bad. Probably a banana is probably not a good idea to blend just because there's so much like fructose and stuff in a banana.
Yeah. No, the only really smoothie I've been eating lately is I do a cup of frozen blueberries, a half a cup of oats, a scoop of protein powder and almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
But you did tell me I should be putting whole milk in it.
Did I?
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like it. I don't know. This all just feels like one giant puzzle, but I guess it all
it is
comes
a puzzle.
Down to just making sure that
it is a puzzle. And that's why I mentioned at the beginning, I am not an expert because the more that I do research in the field of nutrition and wellness, the more I realize that I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Well, and it changes every day. I guarantee you in a year, people are going to be like, keto's the devil. And then like 5 years ago, they were saying something
and like I was saying earlier, keto done wrong is indeed the devil.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to ketoacidosis.
The carnivore
You're gonna
diet.
Feel like mm-hmm. crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like 5 years ago, they said cardio was the best way to lose weight. And now they're saying, no, it's like cut down on your cardio and do more weightlifting,
mm-hmm.
which I love. I love weightlifting. So I'm fine
Good.
With that.
Good.
Cardio is the devil in my book, especially when you have asthma.
Yeah. Cardio is cardio.
I mean, I don't mind like a little run, but like people that can go out and run 5 miles, I'm like, you're not human.
You're insane. Every day.
That's pretty crazy. I admire people who can do that.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Props.
Do you have anything else you want to like? Do you want to plug anything? Your Instagram? Anything like that?
At Haysner on Instagram. That's HaysNerr.
Yep. He posts a lot of like on your stories. You'll post like meal plans and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I mean, I'm in school now, so I'm pretty busy, so I don't really post much, but...
Yeah, but school's coming. School's almost done.
But summer shreds are coming soon.
I know, I'm so disappointed, because we're going on a cruise in under 2 months, and I made the choice in late November.
About to hit that crash diet.
Yeah, but I made the choice in... in late November of 2018, I was like, all right, I'm going to start counting calories. I'm going to lose weight so that I look good by Hallie and Marlon's wedding. I didn't even know we were going on a cruise by then, but I've wasted so much time and I'm still right at the weight that I started at. And so now I'm like, I have 2 months and there's just nothing crash sustainable. Diets, yeah, but I want it to be sustainable. I don't know. It's just disappointing. It's like I just wasted so much time, but I guess I'll be okay with, you know.
Well, I can say that I've been there. Yeah. I've literally been in your shoes and felt that way before too. Just keep on.
Except for you've looked fine your whole life. You've never been fat.
I didn't send pictures home during my mission for a couple of months for a reason. I was the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Whatever. Well, right now I'm the Pillsbury Dough Girl, so.
Whatever.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Would you recommend doing a shiz ton of cardio over the next 2 months?
I would not, just because
no.
That'll work for a day, and then you'll feel like, I don't want to do that ever again. So,
what would you recommend to like optimize my weight loss over the next 2 months?
Honestly, focus every bit of extra energy you have on researching nutrition and learning how to focus on that, because I personally could probably maintain my body in 10-12% body fat year round without even training at all, just focusing on food. So it really is the food, guys. It's the food.
Unfortunately, I do not have a lot of extra time, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So hashtag it's the food.
Hashtag it's the food.
Hashtag it's the food.
Cool.
Got
food
it.
Food is medicine.
Yeah. So Halen's Instagram is Haysner. He tutors. If anybody lives in the East Valley of Arizona and you're needing help with anything, he's a genius. Got a 99% in OChem, if I'm not mistaken.
What?
No, it's not
I don't know if anybody knows what organic chemistry is, but it's stupid, literally like learning a foreign language. And jeez, he got a 99%. So yeah, he'll tutor you. That's Halen, and hashtag it's the food.
There you go.
All right, so we like to sign off by saying keep being decent. So maybe this episode is like,
I'm still so flattered you guys considered me to be a decent person.
Hey, you're,
well, this
sharing
episode
your,
was
your knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. And know, you're teasing. Hashtag decent at eating. Actually, I'd consider you more than decent. I've never seen you. Actually, when we went to Disneyland together last year, you ate Pop-Tarts.
I can't with Pop-Tarts. Don't even talk
P-tarts.
About
it. He referred to them as P-Tarts. He's like, wait, cool, I need to go to this gas station and get a P-Tart.
That and a freaking, what are they called?
Blizzard?
Oh, yes.
From Dairy Queen?
Oreo Cheese Quick Blizzard.
Cheese Quake?
Oh, man.
I feel like they need to hire you to come up with their Blizzard names. I feel like really good at coming up with those.
I could sit there and just like drool over their menu for hours.
I do love Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen, okay, I am curious. So obviously Pop-Tarts and Blizzards, but what else will you cave for?
You know those big barrels of like pretzels with peanut butter in the middle from Costco? Yeah,
those
I'll
are
have
so good.
I when I start eating those, I have like 1 or 500.
Oh yeah.
There's no in between. That's me with
Reese's eggs.
That's you with Reese's eggs, yeah. I don't know.
And there's one more thing.
What?
This is hard to talk about.
He's sweating.
I don't know exactly what they're called, but they are the pink and white circus animal crackers with
sprinkles
on them.
Those are so good.
Oh, man.
You know, they've gone downhill so bad in the past 5 years, though. They taste like garbage now. They're called circus animals, and they come in like the pink and purple bag.
Oh, but they're so much better than circus animals.
Those are so
all right, enough talk about that.
I'm like, can we go to Walmart? Oh, freaking pasta. That's my problem.
Pasta.
Like the other day, because he's been like relaxing this week and eating whatever he wants, he made Kraft mac and cheese. And I was like, I'm never going to eat any. And then I was like, never mind. Scratch that.
Mom and Dad are making pasta for dinner tonight.
I know. And Mom texted me and said, will you eat pasta tonight? And I texted her and said, no. How much you want to bet? I'm going to end up with a bowl in front of me. No, I'm not.
It's hard, huh?
But okay. Also, since I'm not eating pasta tonight, what do I eat? Mom's probably going to make a salad. Do I just sit there and eat the salad? Maybe bring a chicken breast over and slap it on top? Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. I definitely, at this point, have no problem just like cooking something. And Mom's just like, you never eat my food? And I'm just like, I'm just like, well, I got a big day tomorrow, Mom. I can't be throwing, you know, if I start pasta eating pasta, I'll have one or 500 pastas. So yeah. That's all I have to say about that. I can't stop.
Okay. So. All right. Well, good luck to all of you. If you have any more questions for Halen, DM him or DM us and we can get an answer from him. But I feel like this was a good little discussion.
Indeed.
So oh, yeah. We all say keep being decent at the same time. So ready? 3, 2.
Keep being decent.